Welcome to this episode of Bavistock's All Sorts, a short fiction podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Bavistock, reader and writer of what you're about to hear. Now, a couple of episodes ago, I said we'd have four episodes of Bavistock's All Sorts this month, but due to some really exciting book releases that are happening over the next few months, I've only had time to prepare three podcast episodes for this month. Having said that, this episode is so special, I'm sure it will make up for the episode shortfall. Today, I've got my brother, Cash Edison, with me to help out with this story.
Greetings, fellow humans. Yes, yes, that'll do.
Cash is also a writer,
yep.
And he writes the Virus of the Mind science fiction series. His book, Mind Jumper, is based on a short story that I wrote several years ago, and you can check out his book on Amazon. I'll put a link to that book and Cash's website in the show notes. I've been given a sneak peek at some of the other books in his Virus of the Mind series, and they're really cool, so hopefully they'll be out sometime in the future too. I'll keep you posted. Anyway, back to the story for this podcast. Cash and I are reading the short story, Buried Jewels. Let's get started. I dab the ultramarine liberally across the bottom of my canvas, outlining the shore. Henry, my cousin, juggles paint tubes beside me. In recovery after surgery?
Yeah,
Henry says. I chew the end of my paintbrush. Sure you weren't hallucinating? He drops the burnt umber and scowls at me.
There was a biker in the next bed chucking his guts. If that's a hallucination, I want stronger meds.
I shrug. I'm just saying, you were recovering from heavy anesthetic. You sure you weren't? He dumps the vermilion and atomic tangerine on my small fold-out table.
Annie, can we get past this and onto what I'm trying to say?
I squint at the view and then turn back to my canvas. Shoot.
Thank you,
he says.
So the mob boss in the bed across the room...
I pause mid-brush stroke. How do you know he was a mob boss? Henry looks like a cat about to sink his claws into a stray furniture leg.
Italian, deep voice, large man, Marlon Brando complex.
Naturally, I say, blobbing a white foam nose on the crest of my swirling wave. Henry clears his throat.
And he's saying, Buried Jewels, by the shell, paperback, Banksia.
Uh-huh, I say. Sounds delirious to me, he sniffs.
Probably was ingrown toenail, I think. But he did say buried jewels.
Yes, I heard the first time. Bouncing into my peripheral vision, he continues.
We could find them, dig them up, become rich.
I raise an eyebrow at the young sap. If, and I stress the if, there are buried jewels, chances are they're stolen and you wouldn't be able to keep them anyway.
Well, maybe there's reward money. And we'd have a wealthy person forever in our debt.
The infuriating twinkle never leaves his cadmium green eyes. I stare at him. Are you actually 21 or did I dream that? He purses his lips and looks at the view past my canvas.
I don't know what you mean.
I sigh. Look, I'm trying to focus. Painting requires concentration. He rubs his eyes with the palm of his hand, leaving a smear of burnt umber across his eyelid.
Digging for buried treasure, real or imagined, is a whole lot more interesting than sitting on your front lawn painting the Listerine Ocean Freshness billboard over the road.
It's the nicest looking thing around here, I say, making sure my brush rattles forcefully against the glass as I wash it. Besides, I'm planning a collection of billboards. I've already done last month's car insurance ad, and next month, I'm hoping they'll put up a menswear poster. He stares at me like I've already passed on from the living.
Come on,
he says, grabbing my arm.
We're going treasure hunting!
With surprising speed, and a complete disregard for my painting supplies, he bundles me into his grey van and we're off. When Henry is driving, the journey is far more endurable if you divert your attention from oncoming traffic. I quickly find a topic of conversation. What makes you think the mobster wasn't just speaking random nonsense? I say. I had a workmate who came out of anesthetic singing the Star Spangled Banner.
So?
He was Lithuanian. Three empty Pepsi cans and a stray map book are flung across the floor as we round a corner. It takes a minute before my seatbelt loosens enough to be comfortable again. I suppose you need my help to decipher the clues, I say. He smiles.
Nope. I've worked them out already.
Then what do you need me for?
You're my sidekick. Treasure hunting is nowhere near as fun without a sidekick.
Aren't sidekicks meant to be younger than the hero? I say through gritted teeth. He thinks about it.
Perhaps. But I've been your sidekick heaps of times when we were kids. Remember the case of the midnight melon muncher? We must have camped out in the middle of that vegetable patch for 3 nights running until I spotted that possum. It's about time you repaid the favour.
Fine, I mutter to myself. But at least my adventures were plausible. 20 minutes later, we find ourselves in a tiny park, staring up at a rusted metal street sign. It does indeed say Banksia Gardens. Henry grins.
And there's the shell.
I squint across the road. It's a petrol station.
Yes,
he says.
A shell petrol station. And there's the paper park.
I look at the leprous tree, its bark peeling in large strips. Right, I say. What made you think this would be the place?
It fits the description.
He pulls a shovel out of the van.
And he mentioned East Willard just off the highway.
How good of him to include street directions, I say, eyeing the spade he hands me. Did he happen to mention exactly where he buried the jewels? The sarcasm is lost on him.
My guess is this spot here,
he says.
The grass hasn't completely grown over the mound.
I start digging while Henry studies the rest of the sparse lawn. He chooses a spot about 3 meters away and gets to work. 2.5 hours later, I've had enough. We've unearthed 3 chunks of cement, an old tire, and come dangerously close to puncturing a telephone cable. No sign of buried jewels. I'm hot, tired, dirty, and sure it's only a matter of time before the police turn up to ask us why we're excavating a public park. Judging by the size of our holes, aeration doesn't rate as our best defense. I have just calculated the exact distance between my spade and the back of Henry's head when he cries out.
I've found something!
Don't touch it, I say, rushing over. I think it might be the mains. I look down the hole, then back at him. I don't see anything. He keeps digging, more carefully now.
I heard a clunk. There's something down there!
And sure enough, there it is, a wooden box. Henry slides his shovel under the box and is just about to lift it out when I lay a hand on his shoulder. Wait. I just spied something partially covered by the mound of freshly unearthed dirt. Pulling it out, I ask, what did the man say was buried? His exact words.
Jules,
says Henry. I hold up the plank of wood and read the inscription. Here lies Jules, spelled for your information, J-U-L-E-S, our beloved beagle.
Ah,
says Henry. We stare at the wooden box for a reverent moment. I pat his shoulder. Fill it in, I'll take you to dinner. As we shovel dirt back into the hole, Henry says,
it's probably better this way. I'm sure discovering buried jewels leads to mountains of paperwork.
I shrug. I think it would have been nice to have one last adventure together. Henry stops digging and grins at me.
What do you mean, last? We've got a lifetime of adventures ahead of us.
I think about this as I watch him finish burying Jules again and replace the wooden plaque. We head back to the van together. Next time, I say, you're the sidekick. If you enjoyed this story, then subscribe to this podcast. There's plenty more where that came from. If you'd like to read this story in print, Buried Jules is available as a standalone ebook from all major ebook retailers. It's also available in the first volume of Bavistock's All Sorts, which is available as an ebook or paperback. I'd like to say a huge thank you to Cash Edison for volunteering to help me out with this story. If you like Cash's style, check out his book Mind Jumper from his Virus of the Mind series. That's all for Bavistock's All Sorts this month, but there's some very cool news coming in the next few months, so I'm planning on posting one episode of this podcast a month for the next few months with more stories and exciting news about some new releases. If you'd like to be kept up to date with new episodes, subscribe to this podcast or to my blog, which you can find on my website, jessicabavistock.com. Tune in next time for more fiction. This episode of Bavistock's All Sorts was written, produced, and hosted by me, Jessica Bavistock. The additional voice and Marlon Brando impersonation were provided by Cash Edison, who also edited this episode. And the epic music you're now hearing is by Raphael Crooks. Rhymes with books. Now we all know. And if you like his music, you should totally check out Raphael's website. RaphaelCrooks.com. That's spelled K-R-U-X.